Dr. Elizabeth Farrelly is here. She's a Fairfax columnist, of course, former independent City of Sydney councillor and architecture PhD. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming in.
It's a pleasure.
Your initial reaction to this sell-off plan?
Oh, well, I suppose there are a number of different responses I have immediately. One is, you know, we've all seen this coming. It's been sort of happening and talked about for a long time. It's happened all over the world, this kind of thing. But it still seems to me to be very dangerous, and on a number of levels. One is socially for the people. One is in heritage terms for the actual buildings involved, because we need to feel a guarantee that those buildings will be restored and loved, whatever happens to them. And I want to come back, actually, because one of the buildings in question is the Sirius, which not everybody loves, but I have to say I think is one of the best buildings in Sydney and should be absolutely preserved.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, and the other question is the question of the city as a whole, and I think it's very important to recognise that we have a mix, a demographic and social mix within the city centre. That's really important to maintain for the sake of the city, not just for the people.
Now, it's not necessarily the case that that will change just because these properties get sold.
No, although if they're sold, they're sold to rich people.
So is the label social cleansing
implied? Right. Well, you know, we saw it happen in Thatcher's Britain where social housing was sold off, and some people were able to buy their own units, but they were not units on Sydney Harbour looking at Sydney Opera House, you know, so or even close to. So that if we allow market forces to dictate what those houses are worth, then they're worth an awful lot of money. Broadly speaking. So that's a very interesting problem. And the other interesting thing is the leasehold thing, which, you know, Sydneysiders are very resistant to buying leasehold properties, which is one reason for selling them off. Freehold now. They've been sold off piecemeal, leasehold for a while.
Leasehold would give us more a possibility of taking them.
Means it's still owned by the Crown, but you have 99 years. And so people... But because people are expected to invest quite a lot in doing these houses up, that's sort of the deal. They get a fairly good deal on the lease, but then they have to, I think there's an obligation to reinvest quite a lot of money in restoring them.
Yeah.
So that's interesting, but a difficult proposition for a lot of people.
Elizabeth, just on that whole question of the longevity of families in the area, lots of texters saying, why are these people in public housing for generations? That's not the intention. Is that a legitimate concern?
I think so. I can't vouch for the truth or otherwise of those rumours. Mm. I don't know. There's, you know, Sydney being Sydney, there's always been a tendency to that sort of deal. And if that's the case, that's clearly it shouldn't be. But that's not really the issue here. The issue here is whether it's not about these particular people necessarily. It's whether, I think, whether we should have public housing in the city and whether this wonderful, strange idiosyncrasy that I've always loved about Sydney of having the poorest people in the best possible spots should be maintained. And if not, then how can we find a way of actually tying that revenue into providing public housing? I know that's what the minister has implied, saying we have to sell this so we can provide, you know, three times as much for three times as many people elsewhere. But you want to know that that is actually the deal, and it's not just going back into general revenue and becoming part of the big pot for other things. So that's, I mean, part of my suspicion is that, and part of it is about the old thing of course, they are run down, these houses, some of them almost to the point of being uninhabitable, but they are only run down because the maintenance hasn't happened over decades.
And those interesting questions that Peter was raising there with Lawrence about the nature of estimating what the cost would be for upkeep and renovation. Look, let me ask you about the Sirius building, because you can't drive over Sydney Harbour Bridge without seeing it. And yes. I remember the first time I came to Sydney from Perth and was horrified.
What
is that block of concrete doing there?
Is that?
I actually feel very affectionate towards that building now. Now, of course, it's being sold. It's not being demolished, so it's fine. But what do you think its place is in Sydney's history?
Oh, well, look, it's brutalist. That's a word that Sydneysiders do not like. It's a kind of architecture they generally don't like very much, partly because it's too recent to be regarded as heritage. But to my mind, it's actually one of Sydney's finest buildings because it's really unusual in Sydney to have something so explicitly, crazily, sort of idiosyncratic, just whatever, you know.
I'm utterly out of character with everything
and
else.
And I see it as a sort of pile of television sets, which is quite ridiculous, But because of the way that the windows are framed all round with that sort of concrete, which is precast. And it's just, it's a very, very good example of its type. It was designed by Theo Gophers, who I think should be recognised as a really interesting architect. And it's late 70s, which is later than most brutalism elsewhere. But it sort of ties a little bit with the UTS Tower in the sense of something that, you know, is absolutely unabashedly made of concrete. There's no question. And this is what it's doing. And I love it. And I also love the way that it's covered in that kind of greenery that grows up it and softens it and makes it really lovely. So
yeah,
I think it's
very curious.
Fabulous thing.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens here. So you're not opposed to selling these places off per se, but there are those sets of issues about how we preserve community, as Tanya Plibersek wrote.
Yeah, not just community. I think it's...
And heritage.
Yeah, and inner city mix.
Mix,
you
yeah.
know? And there's an example near me in Redfern, which has been recently rebuilt, which is quite interesting, where the public housing was demolished and rebuilt with a mix, with a slightly higher density of, but mixed private and public. And that meant that the private housing could be sold in order to fund the public housing, which made it relatively, I think, cost neutral, but relatively inexpensive public housing and still inner city. So I think if you can be clever, it can be done in a way that's maybe not painless, but better for everybody.
Yeah. Well, I guess we need to see more details from the minister. Elizabeth, thank you for joining us this morning in the studio.
It's a pleasure.
Elizabeth Farrelly.